Let's go ahead and get this started this morning. Good morning. I want to welcome everybody to Calvary Chapel, West Wichita. This is week five. We've been going through a series called We Are Family because we are family. We come together like this, or we fellowship like this because we are family. So this morning what I want to do is I want to invite you in spiritually or metaphorically, or however you want. I want to invite you into coffee. I want to invite you in to come into our house. I want to invite you to have a seat at the kitchen table, not in the living room, not in anything like that, not at the dining room, but at the kitchen table. And that just, you know, that's where family sits, at the kitchen table. And I want to have a real conversation, just to talk about it a little bit. I want to have a conversation with everybody that's in this room here, with everybody that's online here. I just want to have a conversation this morning about what's going on here at our church and probably many of the churches throughout Wichita and throughout the United States and throughout the world. But we are coming into our 14th year of serving the Lord here at this church. Linda and I, we come over here July, as a matter of fact, 2006. And I can remember, and it was much like it is today. There was about 15 believers that were out in the congregation. We come to this church. They didn't have a pastor. I was a pastor. We didn't have a church. There was a dwindling congregation. Minimal income was coming in. There was a large mortgage that was coming due. There was a huge, huge, huge tax debt that was coming through. And the IRS was knocking at the door, and they were ready to collect on that. But the Lord had different plans. The Lord was doing something that we couldn't see. So now, 14 years later, the building's paid off. The evil tax people, they forgave our debt. We didn't have to pay it. They forgave our debt. We're supporting missionaries in the Middle East. We're supporting missionary families, Jesse and his family. They just, I think, moved back to Berlin, and so they're back in Berlin. We feed hundreds of families monthly through the Kansas Food Bank. We provide needed items for new mothers. We collect donations for a Right to Life group. We feed the homeless every month, about 200 meals at our downtown outreach. And all through this that we're doing, we're serving this by our members here in this church, by the members that are here in this church that are serving the Lord. And so I guess you could say, you know, our goal or our purpose or our mission statement, if you will, and always has been in this church, is making a difference in people's lives by connecting them to Christ. Making a difference in people's lives by connecting them to Christ. Did you get that? Didn't say anything about feeding the homeless. It didn't say anything about financing things for people. It didn't say anything. It talked about we do this, we connect people to Christ by serving and sharing just like Christ. And I've got to let you know, we're not special. We're not like unique in any way. Calvary Chapel is and always has been and always will be a place where hurting people can come and show up, where depressed people are welcome into this building, where frustrated and confused people can come in, and they can find love, and they can find acceptance, and forgiveness, and help, and hope. And this is a place of encouragement and guidance. And it's a place, especially, to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And wouldn't you agree that we need a little bit of good news lately? It's been a challenge, so we need to hear some good news. The world just keeps getting darker and darker. And people out there, and we know this here, many of us that are listening to this, we understand this. People need hope. And there's many people out there, even believers today, that they need hope. They need encouragement. They're feeling hopeless. They're feeling unsure. They're afraid. They're afraid for their lives. They're afraid for their jobs. We're concerned about the economy. We're concerned about the future. So let me read this to you. See if this touches a nerve. I'm going to go back, and you don't need to turn there, but Habakkuk 1:1, Old Testament, Habakkuk 1:1, and it says the oracle or the spoken word that Habakkuk the prophet had saw and said, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear me? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see the inequity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention are arising. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes perverted. Does it sound familiar? Sound pretty close to you? This was written like 3,000 years ago. And Habakkuk, a follower of the Lord, a follower of the Messiah, he was confused. Why is all this wickedness going on? We're your people. We understand it. Why is this wickedness going on? Why is this violence going on? And violence unchecked. Seems like they're free to roam and do what they want. It seems like sin prospers in the world. Everything that they're doing wrong, it seems like we're protecting them so that they can do it. What is called sin, we call that normal now. What is prohibited, now we protect it. And so the prophet cried out to the Lord. And we too today, even as believers, cry out to the Lord. How long are we going to have to suffer? How long are we going to go through this? To which the Lord replied, verse 5. He says, look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. He says, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe even if I told you. And if we look at that, he says, look among the nations. The first thing I want to look at in this, he says, look among the nations. It means it's a world problem. It's not a problem in Wichita or in Kansas or the Midwest. It's a world problem. It's not a political problem. Not anything to do with culture or color or anything like that. It's a man problem. It's a woman problem. It's a mankind problem. It's the heart of man. And so the Lord responded to him because he didn't understand it. He was confused. He says, why is all this stuff coming up against us? Why is all of this stuff happening? And he says, I'm doing something. This is my paraphrase. He says, you know, I know you're not going to understand this. I know you're not going to get it. I know it's not going to even make sense to you. But he says, I'm doing something. And he said, something that's going to astound you. I'm doing something. I want to share. He's sharing this with him because he's saying, I want to give you some hope. I want to give you some hope right now because I know it's tough. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. And he says, I want to give you some hope. So Linda and I, we've been watching this Batman series. Batman's awesome. If anybody's curious, he wears a mask too. So Gotham, it's underneath, it's attack. And evil's just running crazy. It's running around. It's doing whatever it wants. You got the Penguin going around doing what he wants to do. Mr. Freeze is going around freezing people. The Riddler's out there. He's playing havoc with the whole city. And just all of this, just, you know, evil is just ruling the world at this time right now. And so the police chief that he's running around, he's trying to stop it. He's trying to protect everybody. He's trying to do the right thing. And the one message that he can say that he keeps hearing from the people that's outside of this town, the one message that he keeps hearing from them is, help is on the way. He said, we got all this stuff and these people are doing bad and evil and sin and everything. And he says, what's going on? He said, help is on the way. And that's what he's telling these people that have been persecuted and they're beat down and they're hidden and they're kind of huddled up in their own little protective corner. And he's telling them, help is on the way. He's assuring them that help is on the way. And isn't that encouraging? So today's message, what I've titled today's message is, Hope is on the Way. And I know it's tough and I know it's challenging, but hope is on the way. And it's not like, you know, I wish. That's not that kind of hope. That's not what I'm talking about. It's a hope that is assured. It's an assured hope. It's a defined hope. We understand it. We know what it is. It's a promised hope that it is coming. Not we're going to try to work this out. Not maybe it's coming or there's a good possibility. It's an assured hope that it is coming. And it's the hope of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's the hope of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's a promise that has been made. It's a promise that the appointment has been met for this. And it's a promise that a perfect life has been paid for the sins of man, for the evilness of man, for our shortcomings. And listen, this is the purpose that we gather. This is why we all come together, not just this church, but all churches. This is why we all come together. It's kind of the dynamics of the family, the church body, that we come together. It's the hope of the world, this building, this structure, this group of people right here, we're the hope of the world, and it's the church. It's not the politicians. It's not the police chief. It's not the president. It's not any of those things. The hope for the world today is the church. And I've got to tell you, and I've got to encourage you, that eternal hope is on the way. It's coming. But immediate hope, listen to this, immediate hope is here today. If you're sitting at home today and you feel like there's just no hope, immediate hope is here today. You don't have to wait. Immediate hope is here today. And that immediate hope, it's you and I. It's the family. It's the local church is the hope of the world, because we have the greatest message in the world for the world. We have the greatest message. It's the message that it's the answer to the world is looking for. And that message is hope is on the way. And the best way to show that, we could go out and we could do a lot of stuff and we could buy some billboards and put them out there and we could have some concerts and outside and people would see it and we could go around and knock on doors or we could have radio shows, so we could do that. And those are good things. I think those are important things to do. But I think the best way of spreading the gospel, the best way of encouraging the world, the best way to show people that hope is on the way is to serve others. It's to go out instead of spreading the gospel, I think that we need to be showing them the gospel. We need to be showing them what it looks like. We need to be serving others. We need to be helping others. We need to be feeding the poor. We need to be helping the sick. We need to be encouraging the hopeless. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to give you four reasons, and you can write these down if you're a note taker, why you should put your hope and trust in Christ, Lord Jesus, and start serving his people. Because not only if you do it, if you do that, it will change your life forever. But more importantly, it will change the world. You, one person, can change the world. So reason number one, to start serving God and putting your hope in Jesus Christ is it gives you a purpose for your life. It gives you purpose for life. Do you realize this? And the Bible confirms this, that God has created you for service. He's created you for a service, to serve others. I mean, you can't be self-serving, so he's created you to serve others, to make a contribution to this world that we're living in, at this time that we're living in, to make an impact on this world, in those around us, at our workplace, in our families. He created you to make a difference in the world. And sure, we may not be able to change the whole world, but we can change part of the world. And if everybody has that same attitude that we can change part of the world, we can change the whole world. And he's created us for that. Mark 8:35, he says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the Gospels will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world if he forfeits his soul?" So God didn't put you on this earth to live for yourself. He didn't put me on this earth to live for myself. He didn't create us so that he could put us on earth and say, I just want you to have a really cushy life the whole time you're here. He put you here so that the world would be a better place. He put you here so that the world would be a better place. And I know what you might be thinking, and I assure you, I've been down this road too. It's like, well, you know, I would like to serve God and all that, but I can't even see God. How can I serve somebody that I can't see? You serve him by serving his people. You serve him by serving his people, by serving others. What that scripture is saying is, you know, you were created for that. You were created for service. And if you're not doing that, if you're not serving others, you're not really complete. You're not really living the life. You're not living the abundant life that God has called you and asked you and offered to you. Until you learn to serve others, you can't have a fullness in your life. And he even says in there, he says, you know, there's no gain. There's no profit in there to gather all these worldly things up in there. You know, there's no profit to us from that. Serving others is what moves you from just surviving on this world to thriving in this world. Listen, you make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. You make a living by what you get. You work, you get money, but you make a life by what you give. I mean, your house, your boat, your car, nothing wrong with those. Those aren't evil things. Nothing wrong with getting those things. But guess, understand this, they're all temporary. They're all temporary. You're not going to take them with you. The thing that you're going to take with you, that you're going to have in your life that you can hold and that you can pass down as a legacy to other people is love, peace, joy, compassion, character. Those things last for eternity. They last for eternity and they go on and on. So we serve others because it gives us a purpose for life. And reason number two, we serve others because Jesus served others. It's as easy as that. We serve others because Jesus served others. And we want to be more like Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be Christ-like, to be just a baby Christian. We want to be more like Jesus. And so we want to serve others. It makes me more like Jesus. I can learn to be more like him. It's like when we make sack lunches on Sunday, we're serving Jesus. We're serving the Lord. When we come in and clean the building, we're serving Jesus. We're serving the Lord. When we support our missionary families, we're serving like Jesus. To be Christ-like is to serve Christ-like. To be Christ-like is just to be like him and to serve like him. Matthew 20:28, he says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. If you've got one of them old-fashioned paper Bibles, go ahead and I want you to circle or highlight some of these words. As one, highlight the word serve. And highlight the word give. Highlight the word serve and highlight the word give. Those two words, they kind of describe what it is to be Christ-like. Not necessarily, not like in finances or anything like that. It just means in everything. It's what it means to follow Christ, to be serving and to be giving. It's the essence of the Christian life, to be giving of your time, to be giving of your talents, to be giving of your treasures. That's the essence of Christ-like servanthood. So we give and serve in whatever way we can. No specific way, but we give and serve in whatever way we can. And when we do that, serving and giving, even if it doesn't feel right, even if it's a little bit forced at first, serving and giving, it helps us to mature in our faith. It helps us to grow in our spirituality. Serving and giving, that's how we encourage other people. Here, let me help you out. Let me help you out. Get off the street. Let me give you some food to eat. I know you feel like your service is to go across the ocean and help somebody else. Well, let me help you do that. Let me help you with some meals. And serving, it not only encourages other people, but serving and giving, it enhances your spiritual growth. Because you grow in yourself when you do that. It teaches us to move from self-service, which is our natural inclination, to selfless service, to serve for others. It moves us from, when the Bible says, you know, if you see a stranger and he's cold, it does no good to go tell him, say, hey, you're cold, you should probably go put a jacket on. That's self-serving. That's not helping him. That's self-serving to tell a stranger that. What we should be is giving him a jacket. He said, it's cold out here. Here, take my jacket. Or here, I've got an extra jacket. Let me give you to it. That's selfless serving. So reason number three for serving, it's the best use of your time. It's the best use of your time. Have you ever said that phrase, and I seem to say this, I just wasted a whole day doing X, Y, and Z. Seems like that happens to me a lot at work. I just wasted a whole day on this one issue, and I didn't get anything else done. We want our life to count. We want it to mean something. We don't need to be famous or that everybody knows this, but we want our life to count. We want to make an impact on our life, at the very least in our children, but hopefully in the people around us. We want to make an impact, you know, whether it be at home, whether it be at family, whether it be at work. We want some kind of a legacy, something that people can remember us by, something that would be good, and serving God is the best use of your time to do that. Doing what, listen to this, doing what you were created to do. Doing what God has called you to do. Fulfilling your purpose in His calling. 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my beloved brothers, he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Sometimes it feels like that. Sometimes when we do ministry, sometimes when we serve other people, sometimes they're not grateful and it feels like, God, I'm just doing this. You know, am I really making a difference? It's like the guy that was walking down the beach and he was throwing the seashells or the starfish into the ocean. And his little son said, you know, why are you doing that? He said, there's millions of them out here. You know, you're not going to make a difference. And he reached down and picked one up and threw it in the ocean. He said, I made a difference to that one. We can make a difference. We can change the world one soul at a time. So the Lord said, always abounding in work. Always in doing that. Always working for the Lord. I mean, just think about this, no guilt, no condemnation, but think about the hours of wasted binge watching TV. We've all done it, I've done it, but just think about the hours wasted. You know, think about the hours spent either gossiping or spreading rumors on social media. Just think about the time that was spent doing that. You'll make a much bigger impact in the world by spending time serving the Lord. And I know what you're probably thinking. You know, it's like, yeah, here's where he comes up and he says, you know, now it's time to get into ministry. But that's not what I'm talking about. Because, you know, what is serving the Lord? Well, the Bible tells us it's feeding the poor. It's caring for the widows. And it's visiting the prisons. But I don't think it's limited to that. In fact, I'm positive it's not. Serving the Lord is raising your children. Raising them up in the ways of the Lord. Serving the Lord is encouraging your spouse, building them up in Ephesians. And it says, build them up, respect your husband, you know, love your wife. It's working on your marriage. It's caring for your neighbor. It's maybe getting older and maybe needs some help. You know, serving the Lord is doing that. Serving the Lord is serving your friend that's having a down time and having a difficult time. And you just call them up or just send them a text. It's like, hey, how's it going? I'm praying for you. They probably just want to hear, I'm thinking about you. So serving the Lord is all that. We serve the Lord by serving His people. Doesn't have to be a church-associated event. We serve Him by serving His people. And the Bible's tell us, don't waste that time. Don't waste that important time when we could be doing something good for Him. And why should I be serving others? Serving the Lord, number four, reason number four, serving leads to success. You know who I like? Zig Ziglar. If you've ever read or anything I like, he's such a positive person. And he says, you can have anything that you want in life as long as you help others get what they want. He was a really well-known speaker in his time, and still is today. His legacy goes on. But right here, he's saying, you want anything? You want to be successful? Anything that you want in your life? Help somebody else. Go help somebody get what they want. You want to be successful? Help somebody else be successful at something. Doesn't have to be Hollywood. Doesn't have to be anything in the newspapers or anything like that. Just help somebody else be successful with what they do. You want to have a great life? Give your life up. Quit worrying about yourself so much and start helping somebody else have a great life. Could be your children, could be your spouse, could be somebody like that, could be your best friend. Don't worry about yourself so much and help somebody else have a great life. Serve others, help somebody else have the greatest life that they could ever have. Matthew 20:26 says that it shall not be among you, but he said, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. You want to be great? Serve somebody. What the Bible tells us. That's what Jesus tells us. You want to be great? Serve somebody. True greatness, we understand this, we know this, and we understand it now. True greatness is really servanthood. It's serving others. The greatest leaders in the world that we know about, what did they do? They did what they were going to do for other people, not for themselves. They were serving others. And it doesn't matter, and we're talking about great people, and we're talking about people that we are famous at the same time, but that's not what we're talking about. It doesn't really matter. You could be a journalist. You could be a great journalist, you know, help all the other journalists around you. You could be an artist. You could be a great artist. Help somebody else do their art. Help somebody else with their art. You could be a great doctor, help other people. And everything. You could be a great business leader at this time by serving others, helping others get what they need in their business. You could be a great school teacher. You can be a great stay-at-home mom. Just by serving others, maybe showing others how to do that. So you want to make a difference in somebody's life? Serve somebody else. You want to see lives change? Start serving somebody else for their needs and their wants. Listen, it's not as important the what isn't nearly as important as the when. The what isn't nearly as important as the when. Now is the time. I don't have too much. Everybody's got something that they can help somebody else with. Now is the time. The when is now. Now's the time to serve. Here's what the Bible says about that, Colossians 3:23. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your inheritance as your reward. You are, and he ends that with, you are serving the Lord Christ. So ultimately, your boss is not your boss. Wouldn't tell him that, but ultimately, your boss is not your boss. Your real boss is serving Jesus. And the Lord will give you rewards. You'll get your income, you'll get your payment that's due to you, but your rewards will come from Christ. So you're working for him. And look what it says. It says, whatever you do, not like the really important stuff. It says, whatever you do, your reward comes from Christ. Yeah. In fact, if you read, and I'm not going to go there and read it, but Mark 10:29, it says your reward will be 100-fold. Whatever you do, your reward is going to be 100-fold in heaven. So the last verse, and we're going to close with this, is Romans 12:1. And the Bible tells us, and Paul's writing, he says, do not be slothful in zeal. Don't be lazy is what he's talking about. But be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. So the Bible tells us that we should be passionate about serving the Lord. It's not something that we have Sundays off and we'll be able to do some stuff then, and then the other 6 days of the week we don't do anything. He said, be passionate about serving the Lord. And here's what the verse, here's what it's not saying. It's saying, don't serve God out of guilt. I'm such a bad person. I'm such a sinner. I just need to serve the Lord. Don't serve him out of guilt. Don't serve him out of duty. Like, this is my job. I need to do this. Don't do it. Don't do it out of pressure. It's like, well, everybody else is doing something. I feel like I need to be doing something too. Don't do it out of, and don't do it out of stress or shame or any of those kind of things. So why do we serve God? It's out of gratitude. It's just out of thanks. It's a gratitude and thankfulness for what he's done for us in our life. He's created us. He's with us. He died for us. And he's coming back for us. He's given us a reason for hope. Listen, within this family, within this church, within this group of believers, we have the message of Jesus Christ, which is the greatest hope of all that we can offer anybody. And he, Jesus, has entrusted this message to this church. He's entrusted this message to his church. And he's empowered us by the Holy Spirit to be able to carry this out. So we need to be taking this message into all the world. We would start in our backyards and then we would go from there and proclaim the good news, whether at work or whether at school or whether at our churches or whether at the park or whatever, that we would do that, that we would share what we learned. I mean, not that we would understand it, that we would know that, that we would actually do that, that we would show what we've learned, that we would go out into the world and we would show that, that our light would shine, that it would be bright and people would see that. It would be like, you know, through all the whole world and through all our neighborhood, they'd be like, yeah, that's, you know, they're trustworthy. We can trust those people down there. You know, that they would see that, that in our life that it would see it, that it would be like, you know, pierce the darkness, that it would just, that there wouldn't be any darkness around us in this world that everybody's hoping for and leaning on and having a hard time for, right? That they would see it in our lives, that they would see the hope in our lives and they would say, I'm not sure what that is, but I want some of that. I need some of that. That it would shine into the world, that you would be an encouragement to the whole world. Not a negative encouragement, but you'd be a positive encouragement to the whole world and sharing the greatest message of today. That we would go out as a body of believers, as individuals, as Christians, as Christ like, as servants of the Lord, and share the message with the whole world that hope is on the way. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. We know you hear us. Just because you don't answer audibly, we know you hear us. We know, Lord, that you're on your way. What's so exciting, Lord, that as the time gets closer and the trials get harder, we know that you're closer. So we thank you for that, Lord. We pray that you would help us to be an encouragement to the world, that the light from this little church would shine from the Midwest across the whole country, and it would change lives, Lord. And in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.